Welcome to the Tell Janice Radio Show, where you will hear inspiring stories about life, love, and labor from amazing women to help lift you up. Now, here's your host, Janice.
Thanks very much, and welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you're listening, and I'm sure you're going to learn a lot from our guest today. But before we get started, I wanted to remind you that if you know of a fabulous female that you would like me to give a shout-out to with a few words of encouragement, acknowledgement, or congratulations, please let me know their names by clicking on the link at telljanice.com. My guest today is Brenda Williams. She's a female lucianary, and I love that. She's an author, a media personality speaker out of the greater Detroit area. I'm so excited to have her on the show today. I've listened to a YouTube video of hers this morning. It brought tears to my eyes, and she is just terrific and has such a message for our girls out there. Welcome to the show, Brenda.
Hi, Janice.
I'm so excited to have you on.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited, too.
We usually like to get started with our guests telling a little bit about themselves and their background. And how'd you get to where you are today, Brenda? Can you start with that?
Sure. So I started out as a secondary Spanish teacher. And from there, I just naturally attracted girls. They would always want to come to my classroom. I would have to put them out of my classroom. We would talk. Have conversations even after the school day had ended, and then that's what prompted me to start the organization, The Power of Girlhood. And we started at a local library and just grew from there because I spoke with my colleagues just across the city, and just unanimously there just seemed to be such a need for girls to find a safe space, to find a place for their voice, to find additional support. And so I'd already developed a platform as a poet and a speaker, and so I just built from there and just utilized the resources that I had and just gave them all to girls.
I love that, The Power of Girlhood. Can you start also and tell our guests about your background and in school? You started your speech with when you were 13.
Yes. So at 13 years old, and I think that that's the place where many of us will start our missions, is from our misery, so to speak. And so I was 13 years old and horribly insecure about my appearance and myself, and I was an introvert, and teasing, as we now know is the populist phrase, is bullying. I was teased and I was mocked, and just like I said, very horribly insecure. And so I had to revisit my 13-year-old self and affirm her and speak directly to her in a way that is, see, I got emotional, and that made others in the room emotional because they could connect with those feelings of insecurity and isolation and not really knowing who you are, and not being able at that tender age to kind of cultivate an intentional community for yourself. So I disappeared a lot into my own world of fantasy and poetry and literature. So so The Power of Girlhood actually helped me heal myself.
Well, I really, that resonates with me, because I think my year of being 13 was really a pivotal time in my life. And I think that's a really difficult transitional age for our girls. And then you went on to high school, you said. And can you tell us a little bit about who made a difference in your high school world?
Wow. So I have several women to credit in my high school world. My lovely Senora, Senora Wolf, which is my Spanish teacher, really opened up a space for me to cultivate a talent. I love the Spanish language, love the Spanish culture, and I attribute a lot of that to them. But I found a place that was safe. I found a place where I could flourish. I loved the literature that came out of the classes and the dance and the food and the expression. So they really kind of helped me find my niche, find my place in the world. I remember Senora Trazen, I had to conjugate 501 Spanish verbs, and she actually took me home from school. But in that time, spending time with her after school, I learned about what was even possible. So sometimes, Janice, we don't even think that there are certain things in our realm of possibility. She was going on to the United Nations as a translator. She mastered 5 languages. And just to see a woman in that place of power and ability was just amazing to me. So I would definitely say in my high school years, between that and the creative arts, really helped me come into my own.
Oh, it sounds like it. And what a difference a teacher can make.
Absolutely.
So what, absolutely. After high school then, how did you find your voice? What did you do following high school?
So following high school, poetry has always been my go-to. It's always been my refuge, always my place in my notebook. I would just disappear into my notebook. And I've collected my, I've kept my notebooks from high school all the way into now in adulthood. And so while I was in college, writing became not only a therapeutic space, but also a platform for me. I went on to write for the student newspaper, the student publication. It morphed into freelance opportunities for newspapers and online publications. So I would literally say that the pen has been my sword and my shield and my lamp. It's been everything, you know, for me. And so I think that writing as a tool, especially for girls, can be quite a place of liberation, but also helping them to create an intentional space of refuge.
I like that. The pen has been your sword.
Yeah.
Now, you also mentioned your parents a couple times in the speech that I listened to. You mentioned that you grew up in a middle-class family and you had some loving words to say about them. Can you tell me about your mom and dad?
So I have absolutely amazing parents who love and support their artistic and eccentric daughter. My mom even pushed me. I went the route of business actually while I was an undergrad, but she continuously pushed me toward art, like humanities and anthropology and those things where I would a lot be more permitted to express my creativity. But no, I wanted to be more practical and chose a different path, but it seems that everything has come back full circle. So I do believe that your parents provide for you that nurturing space, and I was very privileged to have, you know, an amazing father who just has set a bar for manhood for me that I feel that many girls nowadays don't have, but I was fortunate enough to have. So I do have a strong place that I can harken back to of what feminine and masculine energies look like when they're at their height and at their strongest and what they can cultivate together.
Right, right. And you mentioned going into like a practical field. Did you go into like an organization? What did you do following? Because I know what I have a feeling what you're doing now, but did you get a typical job?
I got a typical job. You know, I actually started almost like a bidding war for a couple of marketing agencies. They wanted me before I even graduated from college, even on a contingency. And I sat there, I remember clear as day, I was sitting in one of the interviews and I got this sinking feeling in my stomach that this just wasn't the right thing for me. And so a few weeks after that, I had a chance meeting with a assistant principal at a predominantly Spanish-speaking school, and he said, "You got the gift. Might want to reconsider your career path and go into teaching. I could tell right away you're a natural teacher." And that chance meeting with, God rest his soul, Dr. Bernardino, who changed my life forever, and it changed my course. And so I do believe that you know, everything happens for a reason, and so I didn't make a mistake. Everything is part for the course.
I like that. So you didn't make a mistake. And I loved your story about when you had that group of young girls as a teacher. Can you tell our guests about that experience?
Absolutely. So We had a break from the traditional academic day during a time that is called intercession. And so it's a lot of team building exercises. There's a lot of group work. The way the school was designed, it was designed for you to have a small group of students that you mentor, that you you check on, you make sure that their grades are up to par, but also just emotionally and spiritually, their well-being is taken care of. And so during that natural break, I ended up with a room full of girls, and we talked about everything. I'm talking about divorce, insecurity, body image, career pathways, college, you name it. And it went on to lunch. Like, I got a table, pushed tables and chairs together, and we just kept talking. And it just, a light bulb went on inside of me and said, Brenda, you've got to spread this message. You've got to create a bigger space and container for girls to really talk about what's going on in the inside of them. And I mean, as many of your listeners know, if we're not taking care of in an emotional space and a spiritual space, we can't function in our jobs. We can't function in school. So we really do have to tend to ourselves and practice mindfulness.
Right. And what a difference you made that day with, I'm sure, many of those young girls. How old were they?
They were in 10th grade at the time. And now I'm so happy to say that all of them are now in college. They're at four-year colleges and universities. They're making changes in the world. They're all change agents. And I'm so proud of the young women that they've become. And so now we have leaders of the new school. So we have a new group of girls that we're cultivating and mentoring. So, you know, they've come back from college over the summer, and they're so eager to help their little sisters. They feel like any girls who come through the program are their little sisters as well. So they really take ownership. And I'm so glad that our moms too, are having a hand in raising girls that may not necessarily be their own, but they are showing an active interest in the lives of girls that come into the program.
Well, that's wonderful. You mentioned your mom too. What did she, like, what one virtue would you say she instilled in you growing up?
My mom is brutally honest. And so I love radical honesty, and she is herself. So I think being authentic and standing in your truth, even when it's not necessarily popular. My mom was an activist during the civil rights movement. So firsthand, she's had to stand up to opposition and hold her position and what she needs to be true and right. So I just feel that that I'm a continuation of that work and in that stance.
Well, it sounds like it, absolutely. And you mentioned, you and I talked about this time in our society of being sort of a season of change, and you
yes.
mentioned change agents, and you're working and mentoring women and young women doing this. Can you talk to our guests more about how you look at this time period in life and the season? We mentioned having women kind of pruning women, so to speak, to get into the political realm too. We talked a little bit about that. Can you talk to our audience about that?
Sure. And I love the word that you use, pruning, because that really feels like that's what it is. And of course, you know, the act of pruning is not comfortable. It's picking apart. It's tearing. And that is really uncomfortable, but it's necessary. So the work that I do, even for women, I have a program called Super Women Anonymous, Cut Your Cape and Live. It's sort of ending the martyrdom and operating more in your feminine. And so I do believe in this season, in the political sphere, in the business sphere, the feminine way is so needed. And we have to get back to that space, and we have to show up fully as ourselves in order to create change. And so I'm seeing this just all over my community, communities across the country. I had an opportunity to present at South by Southwest this year, and so women from all over came, I would even say converged, and we're all feeling this pull to something greater, to be authentic, to be true to ourselves, and to answer this calling to change the landscape.
Oh, I definitely feel that, and I felt the connection when we spoke earlier today.
Right.
This is what we need to do with our young women today is
yep.
is prune them into, you know, owning themselves. And I had interviewed a woman a few months ago, and she said, "Own your greatness." And that's kind of what I felt with you listening to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's so kind of you to say thank you. But it's really true. And I think it's not cliche to say own your greatness or own your brilliance, you know, shine your light so that others have permission to shine theirs. It's very true. And I feel also, even in nature, when we look at how stars are born, if that gas stays on the inside, the star will die. So just like the stars, we have to own our light and express that light, or else we too, you know, will succumb. It's too much to hold inside. It's too much to contain in one body. We have to share it.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. So tell our listeners about what else you're doing out there in the world, Farhinda.
Okay, so in the world, I am, doing a leadership series for girls, and we have women who come in a very, very, very informal panel, and we do this in a tea house, and it's, you know, free to participants, and we have women coming in from different sectors. So we have women in politics that will have come in. We've had women entrepreneurs that have come in. We've had women in diversity and inclusion to come in, and then next month we'll have women from the entertainment industry to come in, because I'm also very, very aware of the influence that media has on girls, and particularly in the entertainment industry. Be who you are. You know, I love Alicia Keys' stance on no makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I love different celebrities who are foregoing the airbrushing process and Photoshop so that they can show up more authentically, because they understand the influence that that has on a girl's self-esteem and her identity. So I love that. Also in the world, I'm doing more poetry. So I'm a spoken word artist as well. That's my love and one of my passions. So I'm combining poetry and dance and song for my community and the world to tap into our creativity, to tap into our spiritual essences, and collectively, you know, set intentions and own all of who we are.
Well, that's wonderful. You also mentioned, and I think this is really important for our listeners too, is what the media brings to what the expectations are for young girls especially. And you mentioned 17 magazine and reading that. Can you tell our listeners that experience when you were so young?
Oh, yes. So there were very few publications, and 17 magazine was one of the larger ones, but I didn't see an image of myself. I didn't see a 5'2" African-American girl in 17 magazine. And a lot of the commercials, some of the images that I would see would be women who were maybe ethnically nondescript. So I felt like I was invisible, and that the person that I am is not beautiful, because if I were beautiful, then I would see the representation of it. And unfortunately, I didn't see that. So I get excited now when I see, you know, Queen Latifah. I get excited, you know, when I can see a Viola Davis. It's exciting to me. You know, when you look on the television and you see that, you know, one of the top rated shows like Scandal is an Olivia Pope, someone who looks like you, Kerry Washington, who's doing amazing things in the world, and Shonda Rhimes, who has just knocked it out of the park with drama and writing. So it gives credence to the things that that I'm very passionate about, writing and creativity. I can see it. And then, of course, First Lady Michelle Obama, hello. Elegance personified. I think it's a euphoric time to be a girl, and especially to be a girl or a woman of color, to see this beauty in the landscape, and that your existence is validated when you see things like that.
Oh, I 100% agree with that, especially with Michelle Obama and the legacy she's leaving for women of color and just women in general.
Just women, period. That's right.
She's amazing. So how, like, you and I have talked about getting together and taking those steps necessary to help our young girls. I have a 26-year-old daughter, and I feel so compelled, and you used the word too, you just feel compelled to help these women find themselves as you have been doing. So what's your next step?
Yes. So my next step is I'll be launching a magazine in the fall. I'm so excited about that. The Power of Girlhood is morphing into an online publication, and we'll be coming out with that quarterly, again, to give the girls a platform to speak. And so the way that it operates is that we have, for example, college students to sort of shepherd the middle and high school students to help cultivate their voice and their writing. And so the platform is specifically for girls. So we want to see more girl writers. We want to see more girl film producers. We want to see more girl designers. So I really feel like beyond complaining about what we see in media, why don't we influence what's seen in media and mobilize the girls in a way that they feel the validity of their voice, they understand their power of choice and expression. So that's the next thing for us. And also we'll be soliciting bloggers as well. So I'll send you details, you know, on that. You know, please to share with your listeners to get their daughters involved or them involved, because, you know, we want adult women to share their life stories from 13, 15, 16, the things that they would say now with a little bit of age and wisdom. What would you say to your 16-year-old self? What would you say to your 17-year-old self that you didn't necessarily know then that you've learned now? Because, again, there's no such thing as a mistake. Everything is just par for the course. Anything that you go through, if you survive it, I feel 120%. It wasn't just for you. It's for you to share that experience with someone else. And I feel that even mentorship as an adult woman, we still need that. We still need the mother wit. We still need the maternal wisdom. I ask my mother questions all the time still. And now I've got gray hairs coming in, and I still need guidance. And I still need help. And there's things that I don't always get right or correctly, or I get confused about. So I don't think you ever stop learning, and I don't think you ever outgrow the need for your mother or that maternal influence. We need that.
Oh, we do. And if you don't have a mom, then you can be a mentor or a mom to another female that doesn't have one. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
I loved when I was listening to you and you had tears rolling down your face, and you said that your message was not just for you. It was for everyone either in the audience or who was watching your YouTube video. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. So, you know, I was coached for that storytelling event. So shout out to Satori Shakur for the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers for creating such a cathartic platform. Even when she was coaching me, it was uncomfortable because I wanted to tell the story from the third person and not the first. And she wouldn't allow me to escape, which that I love the accountability that was placed on me for that. But the message was clear. We've got to love ourselves. We have to own our humanity. We have to own our divinity, and nothing about us is by mistake or happenstance. I mean, the bodies that we're in is on purpose. The time that we're in is also intentional and on purpose. So that's the central message that I want to convey to everyone. And even, you know, maybe some of the male listeners that are listening to your show now, you have such an influence on your daughter's life, or if you're an uncle, your niece's life, you know, that male influence is priceless. So you teach her at a very young age her worth and her value by your interaction with her. So it's going to take, I feel like in any movement, it's going to take the collective to be responsive. And so when things happen, you know, unfortunately the tragedy that happened with those 50 people in the club in Orlando, it's going to take all of us to be outraged. We all need to be outraged behind that.
Absolutely. That was just absolutely horrific. And you know, band together and support one another and lift each other up, really, what it boils down to. I have one last question for you because I've been reading, and you are also a radio personality for the Honeybee Chronicles. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. So the Honeybee Chronicles has been on a little bit of a hiatus, but we are coming back in the fall as well. We're still kind of in the negotiations with that, but the Honeybee Chronicles is a radio show where we talk about art, pop culture, community influencers, and relationships and sort of the human experience in its totality. And we review new music for artists who are on the verge, because I just feel really beholden to supporting people who are on the rise, people who may not necessarily have a voice on larger platforms, being sort of that bridge or like a gatekeeper to bring them to the forefront. So I'm so grateful to have interviewed some really fantastic people, both locally and internationally. We even had an interview with Lynn St. James, the race car driver. So I think that, you know, media is such a strong influencer. And I think that there are responsible journalists such as yourself that are giving platform to people who are doing amazing work in the world. And so, again, I think that any answer to a current situation or problem can't be answered at that level. We have to vibrate higher and be at a higher frequency to be the solution that we're looking for.
Oh, I love that. So you definitely are vibrating at a very high, high frequency, Brenda.
I try.
I don't know what you're not doing. You're doing so much, and I'm just really honored to have you on the show today. And I know our listeners really have an opportunity to learn about what you're doing and just to get out there and be yourself and like we said, own your greatness. And
right.
The power you're doing, the power of girlhood, I love it. This is what
Thank
we need
you.
To. This is the message we need to get out. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
Sure. So they can log on to www.thepowerofgirlhood.org to find out everything about girlhood, and they can also contact me directly at www.iamberhendawilliams, and that's spelled I-A-M Berhenda, B-E-R hyphen H-E-N-D-A Williams.com.
Well, thank you so much, Berhenda Williams. You definitely are a female lucianary. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure being with you. Thank you. We'll definitely be in touch. Thank you so much.
Terrific. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Have a great day. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Ladies, I am so happy that you tuned in today and learned from our amazing, fantastic female guests, and I hope you recognize this as an opportunity to pass their knowledge on to your daughters and friends and share the wisdom of the ages. I'll talk to you again soon, and in the meantime, let's lift each other up, spread the love, and share an attitude of gratitude.